Artorama podcast.
Thank you very much for your time in doing this Artorama podcast.
Artorama has always been one of my favorite kind of rendezvous for the end of the summer and the beginning of the fall. So I'm happy to be here, even though it's not in Marseille, but at least it's happening somehow.
That's wonderful. Yes, that's true. In an invisible scenario. So let's begin by your beginning. You told me that you were influenced by your grandmother, who took you to museums, and that she was the one who gave you a painting that was after you sold it, what helped you to buy contemporary art, right? Could you tell me
Absolutely,
more?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. My grandmother was at the beginning of everything because she collected impressionist paintings, and so it's in her house that I saw paintings for the first time, that I was kind of introduced to art in a domestic environment. And she's also the one who took me to museums. I do remember very very deeply when we flew one day to go from Paris to Amsterdam to go and see Rembrandt's painting at the Rijksmuseum, because she wanted me to see the Dutch masters, which are still kind of among my and it was quite extravagant for a kid in the early 70s to fly for one day to Amsterdam. This was not kind of done yet, when it was before Ryanair and all that. And so she's the one who took me to museums. She's the one who took me to exhibitions. And she's the one when she died, who decided I should have one of her most favorite paintings. And when I kind of came older, and when I had two daughters myself, and I saw that one painting for two daughters, and one painting that couldn't really see done anything with, something was too expensive, too cumbersome, and I decided to sell it, but to reinvest the proceeds of the sale into buying art. And I thought that contemporary art made most sense, or at least art from the 20th century or from the late 20th century, because she bought impressionist paintings when kind of early in the 20th century, which was not contemporary when she bought it, but it was still kind of new, so let's say, new art, and was what I decided to do. And it started just as kind of a sabbatical year that I wanted to take after I had kind of finished one job. And then even though I kind of started working again after it, it stayed with me, and it has been going on for 12 years now.
Wow, 12 years. And I remember you told me that FIAC 2009.
Actually, it was FIAC 2008. I did check. It was FIAC 2008 when I started. It was in 2008 that I started collecting.
Ah, look at that. And it was a moment.
Actually, FIAC 2007 was already an important moment, because FIAC 2007, that's when I saw work that I really liked and decided then to go to the gallery where the work was shown, because the work had been sold in the meantime. But FIAC 2008 was also an important moment in my art collecting kind of development.
Was it the moment that you bought your first Alighiero Boetti, an artist that actually, after Zero Group, is the one that you have the most pieces in the collection, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. It is at FIAC 2008 that I bought one piece by Alighiero Boetti, made with a ballpoint pen, you know, one of these works in the Biro series. Which is still hanging in my bedroom, one of the few pieces that don't rotate, because I like to rotate the works. But this one has found its place. Some works find their place, and let's say some works kind of can change and leave way to others.
And if I'm not mistaken, you are dedicating a whole exhibition of your collection to Boete, right? Could you talk a little
bit? I am. You're absolutely. I am preparing. We don't know when it's going to happen, but hopefully at the end of the year or the beginning of next year, an exhibition with my with the work that I own by Boete. I now own 11 of them, more or less important. The most important is probably this Dior painting, but I will also show a little puzzle that he made for I think for Austrian Airlines. So a whole kind of array of works in different media, different sizes, and the idea is not only to show these 11 works, but also to imagine how Boete would have curated a show of my collection should he be alive and should I have been able to ask him to do that. So with my co-curator Grégory Lang, we tried to figure out, let's say, what works in my collection were closest to themes of interest that were close to that he was interested in, and then group these works and try to find one work by Boete that was to be part of that grouping. So it's really it was a fun job to do. That's what we did with Grégory during lockdown. We were in two different locations during most of it, even though at the beginning and the end of lockdown we kind of worked together. But most of the time we did it by Zoom, and it was fun because between each meeting we had time to go through the collection, to kind of imagine the grouping, to imagine the way they would be hung. So it was a nice occupation.
That's nice. And since we are talking about exhibitions, you mentioned to me that you really like exhibitions created by artists, not only Boete, but because they are more organic. And even though it's peripheral, Magicien de la Terre is an exhibition that really influenced you, right?
Yes, that's interesting that you kind of remembered and kind of that, because it's Magicien de la Terre was actually that Boete liked and attended, because he was quite interested in kind of communication and artistic collaboration between different cultures, between the West and the East, as he was working with in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and exhibitions in general. Yes, is my favorite way of discovering art, of seeing art, because museums, of course, are great, but how would I put it? It's I may want to see a 19th century English drawing, but I may not want to see 12 kind of 18th century 12 and 19th century English drawings in the same room, and then go and see NC15. In museums, works are all kind of have all gone through the prism of acquisitions of important collections. They are all kind of recognized by art history, but it's a bit boring for me. Whereas exhibitions are always contemporary, because they're always done at a certain moment of time. And they are always focusing on something. So they bring something additional. And they also, so it's interesting that you mentioned exhibitions in general, because of course museum is the most kind of common way to discover and to see art. But it's organized a way which is a bit tiring, because museums are very large, and they're organized kind of chronologically by media. So you have if you are interested in 19th century British painting, you'll see 10 of them, and then you go to the next room and you see 15 kind of ceramics of Tuscan sculptures, which are really interesting. But I like exhibitions better, because one thing is that they are contemporary and they are made at a certain moment in time, whereas museums come from a whole history of collecting, of acquisitions, and almost nothing that gets into a museum cannot leave the museum, whereas an exhibition is something new and something which corresponds to a moment of time and which is organized around a certain theme or a certain idea. And the exhibition brings something more than the mere accumulation of works of a certain period. So this is why I think that an exhibition you can see it in half an hour, 45 minutes, or I don't know, and you get out and hopefully you can get out somehow changed, or you might see things a bit differently. Whereas in museums, it's you get more knowledgeable, but not as much. And other ways of watching art and discovering art, such as galleries and art fairs, of course, are great and are the best way to discover the art of your of the moment, because they're kind of less filtered. But that's there's an advantage with the exhibition, which is kind of tilted, and an advantage with fairs, which are less tilted. And to go back to what you said about exhibitions curated by artists, I like the filter that the artist gives to an exhibition, because the artists are usually, As you said, more organic than curators. Sorry for you guys, for curators, because curators usually try to do something a bit didactic. They want the public to leave with some knowledge. They try not to forget anything. Whereas artists can afford to be totally subjective and only invite their friends and only show a certain type of work. So I like the subjectivity that an artist gives an exhibition. For my exhibition, I guess we are still doing it. I guess it's still a bit too curated. We would have to really kind of get into where it is as, but that's unfortunately not possible anymore. So we'll do our best.
That's cool. And how is the relation of invisibility with your collection?
Invisibility. Yes, we mentioned, we discussed of that before. First, what can I say? I would start by saying that that the artist's mission is in general to make visible to the public something which has been seen by the artist and which the audience at large might not have have seen. Would not see without the artist's mediation or the artist's creation. It reminds me of very much when you now that when I talk about invisibility, about a show that I saw last weekend at Pompidou Metz on Yves Klein, a very, very good show, by the way. And Yves Klein was a master and was actually saying that all his work is to make something out of the sky, of the light, you know, of things which are hardly visible. And he's the artist also of the void. He was selling kind of certificates of air, of very immaterial performances. And he was saying that for him, art would evolve more and more towards immateriality. But to be a little bit more specific, to go a little bit more towards my collection, because this is what you want us to talk about a bit, I would say that I have a lot of monochromes. And monochromes are a lot what Yves Klein is saying, and is and let's say an abstract painting in general. It also allows the viewer to imagine much more what's behind or what's there. When you watch a figurative painting, you see trees, you see cows, you see buildings, and you know that you get what you see. I'm not talking about kind of more esoteric still life where, you know, a certain object signifies something and all that, and you have to make up what the artist meant if you have the clues. But let's say a simple figurative painting, you see what you get. An abstract painting, you can see much more than what is there, because basically you don't see much. So what I like in abstract painting, what I like in monochromes, is the amount of invisible thing that the artist has put or has not put, and that the viewer can see. But it's also interested by this this exhibition that I also kind of co-curated with works of my collection that was curated by Karin Fall, who is the artist director of Centrale for Contemporary Art in Brussels. Because I was part of a group show of Belgian of Brussels collectors, and she chose for my section some only kind of works that were white or where white was important. And we also curated a second show in my space, because I have a space in Brussels where I show sometimes works of my collection, sometimes I show works of young unrepresented artists. And she found in my collection some works that were not only white, but work were white either concealed or revealed something. And that was very interesting, because of course I did not myself had any clear idea when I bought that work that it's or when I bought these works that there was an underlying there was something underlying all these kind of all these acquisitions, and that there was and that there was a pattern. So I guess that I'm interested in concealing, in revealing, in this kind of in between between what's visible and what's invisible.
And talking more specifically about works of your collection, I guess you have plenty of them, like Marcius Galan, Fernanda Fragateiro, and Peter Scott, and Claire. I think she was in the first.
Oh, exactly. Yes, all these were in that same show, White Cover. Yes.
Exactly. Do you want to talk a little bit about them and Edmund de Waal as well? I mean, there are specific work.
Okay, so let's start by Edmund de Waal, for instance. Edmund de Waal is he's a very interesting artist because he's also a writer, and he works with pottery and with kind of vessels, as I think he calls them. And in the work of his that I have, these white vessels are kind of semi obscured by a glass, but the glass which is not totally clear. So you can imagine what's behind the glass, but you don't really immediately see the full picture. So in that same exhibition, so you mentioned Fernanda Fragateiro, it was another type of cover or concealment, because she photographed her. So Fernanda Fragateiro in that exhibition, she photographed the cover, which was actually white, of the first book that her first lover gave her. And that book was by a beautiful coincidence called Aura. So for her, that cover kind of contained kind of the aura of the book and the aura of the relationship that she had with this young man. And many years ago, just seeing that cover was bringing her the whole experience, and only kind of talking to you about that, it's already kind of giving me some simple. I'm not the one who had the and only thing about it. It is giving me some good simple, because even though I'm not the lover or the artist, I think that the idea of having something so subtle to that can bring back all these memories in just one photograph, and being able to render it in an aesthetic fashion so that it can be shared with other people, I think is really great. And you another artist that you mentioned and which has some and the work has some aesthetic and some conceptual kind of connection is this work by a young French artist of Polish origin who lives in Brussels. Her name is Claire André Jacquin, and her work consists in a it's in two parts. First, there is on the shelf there are four, I think, blurred Polaroid images. So it's Polaroid images that were never processed right. So the silhouettes of the people are hardly visible. And then on top, there is a framed big white silk paper. You know, this silk paper that you use to make gift wrappings or to put around artworks. And actually, she when she told me the story, I was really amazed by the concept. She had been to Poland with photographs, and these photographs were never made it, but she still wanted to keep these photos on her when she returned to Brussels, and she had this white paper, because she's an artist, she's an art handler, and so she wrapped these photos in this white paper, and then she put them in her handbag, and then a few weeks or a few months or maybe a few years I don't know later she unwrapped it and decided that she would make a work out of it. And basically it is a little bit the same idea as with Fernanda, because this white kind of paper kind of held this memory that is now that is not really there, because the photos are not there, but the memory of her relatives and of her trip to Poland, and maybe of the of how this photo session was conducted and failed was really interesting to her, and this is something that I really appreciate a lot in a lot of artists' work, is when they manage to combine a strong kind of conceptual background with the strong with a successful aesthetic rendering, because I think that for a collector you need both. It's difficult to have something only aesthetic. It's difficult to have something or it's maybe too easy to have something only aesthetic, and it's maybe sometimes a bit too difficult to have something only conception. And you and the last, it's a nice way to get to this to the work by Marcus Galland that you like. This work by Marcus Galland is a lot about the artist's work, but it's also about time. It's also about work. It's a work made with erasers. You know, these erasers which are half white to erase pencil and black to erase ink. And he he started using all these erasers. He first erased, let's say, used a lot of the black part, and so some of the erasers remained white. Then for some erasers, he did the other way around. So he started with the white and a lot of kind of black remain, and everything in between. And then he hung all the he framed and hung all the erasers according to the to how he had used them. And he kept at the bottom of the painting all the what had been erased. So under the the white part is a lot of black, little kind of scrubs, and under the black one a lot of white, and in the middle all kind of different shades of grace. So this is another work that found my place in my bedroom. So you managed to mention two works that are always with me.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you very much, Frederic. It was wonderful talking to you, and thank you for making your collection visible to us.
So, thank you very much for inviting me. I don't know if I was able to describe, and you can all come to Brussels when the exhibition is held to see. The Marcus Galland is going to be there. The work by the Brady work is going to be there. So please come to Brussels whenever travel is allowed again.
That's amazing. Thank you. Thank you, Frederic.
Artorama Podcast.